morning, everyone. It's good to be able to share God's word with you once again. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 62. So 62 is, some of you, when you think about 62, you may think about the year you were born. And I know of some people here who were born in 1962. Right, I will not ask you to raise your hand because, you know, you'll be too revealing. But some people, you know, think of 62 as the year they got married. Well, not many of us. I can only think of maybe Dennis and Jen. No, okay. And of course, you know, for us this morning, 62 is Psalm 62, and I'd like to invite all of us to read through this psalm together. Okay, so we're going to read through the whole psalm. There are only 12 verses, so shall we all stand and read God's word together? So, truly my soul finds rest in God, my salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies with their mouth, they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely, the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weigh on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, God, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Psalm 62, and we thank you for the message that it brings to us. May our hearts be open to you this morning, and may the Holy Spirit minister to each one of us according to our circumstances, according to where we are, according to the things that are weighing us down, according to the issues that we are facing. We believe that your word is alive and powerful, able to minister to us and able to bring us back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, Psalm 62, we read just now about King David. He is obviously expressing a couple of things. He's speaking to himself. He's also speaking to his accusers, perhaps, and also to an audience. We don't know who they are, but clearly it is both exhortation and also expressing expectation, expecting God to deliver him, expressing his trust in God. And also exhorting the people, maybe the Israelites, maybe the people in his palace, or maybe his family, to continue to trust in God. So here we see that David is in a precarious situation. His life is threatened. How many of us have been threatened? Let me answer for you. The answer is yes. We all have been threatened, right? We've been threatened in all kinds of ways. When we were young, our parents were threatened. If you don't do your homework, no ice cream. And then we got older, you know, we got different kinds of threat. The teachers were threatened to say, if you don't finish your homework, stand in the corner or get out of the class or something like that. And then, of course, when we go dating, sometimes we get threats too, like, oh, you got to do this for me or no date tonight, something like that. Okay, I see some people kind of, yeah. It's okay, confession time is good. Anyway, so we get threats all the time, but has anyone of you here has been threatened by people who wants to take your life? Surely in our job, we may have people who threaten to take our positions, but what about people threatening to take our lives? I hope there isn't any among us. But here, David is facing a very real threat. His life is being threatened. There are people who not just want to topple him, but very likely kill him as well, end his life. And this is the setting of this psalm. So let's take a look at the first point. The first point, and I have three. The first point is composure. Now, composure is very important. And, you know, when we watch sports, and like me, I like to watch sports, and you know what composure would be when you look at teams that, you know, say a soccer team, and last night we had a blue team versus a red team, and the red team won, of course. You know, I see some smiling faces among us. And it takes composure to hold on to a lead. 2 goals in the first half, and then the blue team came back very strongly in the second half, but could not even the score. It takes composure to hold on to something, right? And for me, I like to follow table tennis, as you all know, ping pong fan. And there are times where, you know, you have a player leading 10-5, and you just need one more point and you win the game. But the opponent just wouldn't give up. And there are certain games, and this is the final game of the match, and he went from 5-10 to 10-all, and then beat the guy who was leading previously 12-10. And to me, that is a lack of composure or for someone who is at the brink of victory and then lost it. It's you know, it's like a phrase that we come across regularly now, snatching defeat from the jaw of victory. Okay, how often do you see that, right? Snatching defeat from the jaw of victory. And that's what happened to some people who lack composure, or certain teams that lack composure. So composure is very important, and here we see composure in David. His life was threatened, as we have read in the first few verses of Psalm 62. He has composure. And to me, the key is that when our life is threatened, we have to stress that one truth that we know so well and which we ought to hold on to with our dear life, and that God alone is our refuge and salvation. When almost everything gives way, when things around our lives look totally bleak, zero hope at all, we have but one, and that is God. And here we see David expressing clearly that God alone is not so-and-so plus God or God and so-and-so. It's God alone is his refuge and salvation. So the key verse to me is found in verse 1 and 5, and he repeated, you know, verse 1 and 2 to end in verse 5 and 6, and that is God alone is his salvation, and that his soul finds rest in God alone. My soul finds rest in God alone. And here I like to break this down, because, you know, if there's one thing that I like you to take home with you, because, you know, when you're out of the door, you probably forgot maybe a lot of what I just said, but I hope that, because it happened to me, okay, confession time. But we will forget a lot of things that the speaker said, but I hope that you will take home this phrase with you this morning. My soul finds rest in God alone. My soul. He didn't say my body. He didn't say my hands or my feet. He said my soul. So what is soul? Soul is that inner part of you, that very core of your being, that part of you that is deep down inside, where it holds on to your emotion and everything else that is central to you. You cannot get any deeper than soul while we are on earth. My soul finds rest. So rest to many of us means lying on a mattress, sleeping. But rest in the Bible means security. It means without danger. You can do things without any threats. And here it says, my soul finds rest in God alone. No one else. No one else. And nothing else. It is God alone. And this is what he expressed to himself at the start when he's in that situation of grave danger. My soul finds rest in God alone. Now, we live in a noisy world. We have train noise because I live near a train station, and I know someone here working for SMRT, and he's somehow a bit uncomfortable now that I mentioned about train noise. But that's okay, brother. we live in a noisy world, and we go to the mall and there's noise. We go many places. If you live by the PIE or the AYE, you'll hear traffic noise. Or any major road, you'll hear noise. And even in the middle of the night, you will have noise. And what is this noise? This is a noise in your head. It's all kinds of voices saying negative things to you, or just really dark thoughts, thoughts that just take away any hope at all. We need to recognize that we live in a noisy world. We live noisy lives. So I'd like to encourage you to join two clubs. This is the BSC club and the MGM club, in an effort to reduce noise inside here and inside here. Okay? So what is this BSC? It's not Bachelor of Science, by the way. BSC means be still and calm. And that's exactly what we read this morning. Right, in Psalm 62, be still and calm. It's so important to be still and calm in this noisy world. And that's exactly what we see in David. He expressed his hope in God, that God alone is his fortress, his rock. And you know, in his life, when he was running away from Saul, he knew of a place where he can be perfectly safe, and that's inside a rock. And of course, in the rock, there is security and there is stillness. He can find peace in the cave where Saul cannot get to him. So it's important to be still and calm before God in this noisy world. What about MGM? MGM is not the film producer, the movie maker, the MGM where you see the lion roaring. And no, that's not the MGM I'm referring to this morning. So MGM, we all love three-letter acronyms here in Singapore, PIE, AYE, BKE, and all that. So Right. MGM is meet God in the morning. Join this club. This is a fantastic club. So in addition to the BSC club, join the MGM club. Meet God in the morning. It's so wonderful to meet God in the morning, isn't it? To feel His presence and to take that presence with you throughout the rest of the day. And you'll feel and you will experience that strength deep inside you because you have met God in the morning. And if I may add on to it, is MGN. Meet God at night as well, in addition to the morning. Okay, so we have these two. The next point is affirmation. So what he did was he affirmed to himself. Firstly, he need to have composure. Secondly, he affirmed. He affirmed that God is his only source of salvation. No one else can save him except God. And this is something that we need to remind ourselves, as well as remind those around us, those dear to us, that God is the only source of salvation. And we need to constantly remind ourselves of the truth about God. So here we see a familiar phrase which we learn from Habits of Grace, right? So that's the beauty of having this, encountered during the Sunday school when we go through Habits of Grace, and that is preach to yourself. Don't just listen to yourself. If you listen to yourself, you'll be discouraged. You'll be dismayed, right? You listen to all kinds of negative things, negative thoughts, negative voices. Instead, as we see in the psalmist, in David, he preached to himself. He reminded himself of God's truth time and time again. So what we see in Psalm 62 is indeed the practice that we read in Habits of Grace, and that is preaching to yourself. And after you preach to yourself, then you can encourage others to trust in God alone. So often we don't really preach to ourselves. And for me, even as I prepare today's message, this is exactly what I'm reminded of. I need to preach to myself and address my own situation and address Psalm 62 to my life before I can share it with all of you this morning. So, Psalm 62, verse 6, again, is another central verse. Truly. And truly is a word that we hardly use. You know, when we ask, are you sure? And nobody say, truly I say to you that the exam is in hall A and not in hall B. Anyone of us say truly? No. What do we say? We say definitely, right? We all say, it's definite, right? So you can replace the word truly with definitely. Or most surely, you know, and here he's saying that there is absolutely no shadow of doubt that God is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. There are many things that will shake us up. Perhaps it's finance that will shake us up. Perhaps it's relationship that will shake us up. Perhaps it is our job that will shake us up. Perhaps it is business that shake us up. Perhaps it's our health that shake us up. But when we make God our rock and our fortress, we will not be shaken. Because with David, that was what happened to his life. Things that he could count on no longer count. It's almost like the phrase that you see here. Everything nailed down is coming loose. And sometimes we trust too much the power of the nail, right? We think, ah, it's nailed down, it's okay. But as those who have experienced earthquake or any of these natural disasters, you know that when it comes to natural disasters like earthquake, volcanoes and things, typhoon and hurricane and stuff like that, nothing is secure anymore. Everything nailed down will come loose. And that's what happened to him, to David, that almost everything that he could count on came loose, except for one, and that is God. And we need to remind ourselves that although there are many things, there are many people that we could count on normally, there will come a time where the only person, the only being that we can count on is God and God alone. And before we encounter these times, let us prepare our hearts from today onwards, if not already, that God alone is our refuge. God alone is our salvation and our refuge. And after he has said that to himself, he said that to the people. He says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And I like very much the song that we sang just now, you know, expressing that God is our deliverer. God is our shield. And that we can trust in him no matter what. And I'm so glad to hear the testimony that Dennis shared with us. What power God demonstrated to that village in India that, you know, he proved himself faithful again and again. God never fails. He is ever faithful and he is ever true. And therefore, we should have all confidence to pour our hearts to him. When was the last time you really go to God and just tell him everything that is bothering you? I asked myself that question and I was boggled because indeed, I have also been living my life telling God little and not much. I should be telling God a lot more than what I've been telling him. You know, no doubt I've been praying, I've been doing my quiet time, but then I realized as I dig deeper, as I examine myself more and more, or deeper and deeper, I realized that there are so many other things I should have told God. And if I had told him, I would perhaps be spared of the trouble. You know, as we have sung so many times, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? Because it expressed the times when we should have gone to him with all our troubles because he cares for us and he could take care of all this for us if only we go to him. So, friends, please be reminded, as I have been, pour out your heart to God because he's waiting. He's waiting for you every moment, every day, waiting for you to pour your heart out to him because he wants you. He wants you to tell him everything. And as I have experienced, I realize I have not been telling God everything. And sometimes this is the one of the cause of the difficulty I face in my life, that I have not been telling him everything. So I like us to listen to a song. It's a very old song. It's probably came out before some of you were born, but I'm sure it has a timeless message. So I'd like to invite Isaiah to play this song for us.
Thank you. Don't you be in such a hurry, 'cause it only leads to worry. There's a time to work, but there's a time to pray. Try to find a quiet place to hear His voice and seek His face. Can you hear the Spirit calling, come away? Let your heart and mind be stilled. Let your empty cup be filled. Come and spend some time with me. Come away. Are you safe?
Okay. How many of you heard of the Maranatha singers? Okay. Those above certain age. I will not mention the number, but it's not a small number. It's not a very big number either, but somewhere in the middle, right? So, yeah, this is one of my favorite, you know, when I was still studying and a poor, struggling student. Come away, come away. And it's a timely reminder to all of us, I'm sure, regardless of our age, to come away, step out of the noise, and enter into this zone with God, with Him, and focus on Him. As He says, let your heart and mind be still. Let your empty cup be filled. Many of us are running on empty. Many of us are just struggling. And we need our cup to be filled by God again. My final point, the third point, is contrast. I love contrast. I think contrast kind of makes certain things super clear. And here we see contrast. The third point in this morning's message is contrast. And here, Psalm 62 tells us to avoid trust in men or riches, because they're not trustworthy, they're temporal, and they do not meet all our needs. Only God meets our needs. So avoid trust in men and women, by the way, it means, you know, in a universal sense, and riches. Instead, trust in God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-powerful, and is always present in our lives. We cannot run away from Him. There's no way we can run away from God. He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, and He's omniscience. And it reminds us, too, that whatever earthly gains, whether it's through deceit, whether it's through downright robbery or whatever, it doesn't count and do not last. And therefore, we must make God alone our hope. And indeed, that He alone is the one that provides us the security. We cannot find security in position. We cannot find security in possession. Neither position nor possession will give us ultimate security. It is God alone who gives us that security, eternal security. So, God is all-powerful, we read here, and all-loving. And therefore, He will bring all to justice. And here, I'd like to share two equations. I know not everyone love equation, not everyone like equation, but I'm sorry this morning, I'm going to share two equations with you. Sometimes, you know, at the moment I mention equation, reminds people of the struggle they have with chemistry or math or physics or anything like that. But some of you actually, I know, like equations. So anyway, here it goes. First equation, P plus L equals T. P plus L equals T. All right? So think about it. P plus L equals T. It's taken from these verses. So what it means is power plus love equals trust. You can trust God. You can trust God with all your heart, with everything that's in you, everything that you have, because He is loving. He's not just powerful. He is loving. He loves you. He loves me. He loves all of us much more than we can imagine, more than we even know or comprehend. His love is so deep and so wide and so powerful. So P plus L equals T. Okay? Second equation, and it's easier now because I already told you what P stands for. So P minus L equals F. So P minus L equals F. And F is not failure. Just in case you think, F is fail. No, don't think about your grade, by the way. P minus L equals F. So power without love brings fear. All right? So P minus L equals F. There's no fear in approaching God with your needs. Yes, we are told to fear God because He is awesome and He is almighty. It's a different fear. Here we are talking about fearing of His punishment. But He's all loving. So P minus L equals F. So there's no need to fear God in that sense because of His love. And He is ready to forgive us of all our shortcomings and all, which means that we come to God with assurance, and therefore we will have peace in our hearts when we come to Him. There is peace in knowing Christ. There is peace in Christ. In this world, there is no peace, but in Christ, we have peace. We have peace that overflows. And it's an endless stream of that wonderful feeling that peace brings. So I like to just end by saying that, you know, our peace is based on an all-powerful and all-loving. All-powerful means He can do anything. He can do anything in His perfect will and in His perfect plan for our lives. It's not a wish. He's not a wish-granting super genie. He is God. And He has a plan for us, for our lives, individual. And he has this for you with all His love. He has this plan for you and me with all His love. So He can do all things well. And therefore, we can trust in Him. People, we can trust in God. God is the only one we can trust. So I'd like to end with this song, There is Peace in Christ. And I'm sure that these words will bring comfort and remind us and encourage us to trust in God at all times.
Peace in Christ, when we learn of Him, feel the love He felt for us, when He bore our sins, listen to His words, let them come alive, if we know Him as He is, there is peace in
there's peace in Christ when we walk with Him through the streets of Galilee to Jerusalem. Mend the broken hearts, dry the tear-filled eyes. When we live the way He lived, there is peace in Christ.
He gives us hope.
A shelter in the storms of life.
When there's no peace on earth,
there is peace in Christ.
Yeah, let's be reminded there's peace in Christ, and He gives us shelter in the storms of life. And one thing we can count on in life is that there will be storms, but we can also count on Jesus to give us shelter. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our refuge. My soul finds rest in God alone. You know, this has been my meditation throughout the week, and it has really been wonderful as I turn this phrase over and over again in my head, in my heart. My soul finds rest in God alone. In this season of Christmas, as we remember Christ's birth, may we be reminded that He came into this world to bring us salvation so that we have peace with God. Peace that is everlasting. So let's just come to Him in prayer and give thanks. Father, we thank You that You are our peace. You are our peace that passes all understanding. Lord, You are our wonderful fortress. You shelter us from the storms of life. May we be reminded to run to You every time we encounter difficulty, when we are threatened. And may we truly be reminded to pour out our hearts to You, because You care for us. You are our all-powerful and all-loving God, and therefore we trust You. You alone. We